You know, as I was preparing a message for this morning, and what was prevailing upon my heart for some time was just what's up there now. Do you rely on the Lord? And that's a question that I hope each of us think about, have already been thinking about within our daily thoughts, and I hope that there are some thoughts today and scriptures that provoke that in your life. Do we rely on the Lord? Brother Stephen had suggested a song this morning that we sang. It's 289, I Need Thee Every Hour. And he didn't know, of course, the contents of my message this day. And I thought that was very, very fitting this morning. How to the point, I guess is the word. I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee every hour. You know, we live in a world today that teaches us to be self-reliant. And in many, many ways that we try to be, and even reaching out to the Lord for His blessing, people will make the comment, you know, about administration that they need to wait until either the burden or the affliction or the pain or whatever it is to a certain level before they call upon the Lord and rely on Him. And we have to be careful, I think, even of that too. If the Lord says that there's not a sparrow that hits the ground without His notice, and if He knows that the numbers of our hairs are our head are numbered, and if He knows our cares and He knows our thoughts before we even speak them in a word of prayer, that He certainly cares what each of us are thinking and feeling and wants us to come to Him. Because He wants to carry our burdens. He wants us to lay our troubles before His feet. And so do we rely on the Lord? And I thank God even for the hymn that was sung this morning. We say that we have faith and that we have belief. And we do. We say this. And we acknowledge this. Yet, we must ask the question, do you truly rely on the Lord? His love, His power, His wisdom, comfort, direction. Speaks volumes, doesn't it? You know, do we rely on the love of the Lord? I know He's been patient with me. I know He's been loving with me. I know He's been caring with me. I realized afterwards there was we were working on a machine at work fellows on the other machine, on the other side of it, and so on. And we were starting to testify to one another, you might say. And I was telling him, really, over my life, the times that I thought were particularly difficult. And it was placed in situations that were very perilous to my physical being. And I had relied, I believe, on the Lord in all those times. And where the Lord has His purposes in each of us to bring us forth to the day in which we live. He has His purposes in each of us that will be fulfilled. And He has a vested interest in each of us, if you might call it that. And you have professed of belief. You've professed the name of Jesus Christ. And he cares for each of you. And he takes care of us. You know, and we rely on him. You each have your testimonies, and we could fill volumes of time, stop this service right now, and just have a testimony service. If we look back over the footprints of time and recount where the Lord's taken care of us, because we relied upon him for his will to be done in our life. In all ways, our beliefs are brought into our lives. And that is a truth and a reality. Our beliefs need to be brought into our lives. If not, they're of no value. They need to be the life itself. Our beliefs will become our actions or our works. The statement needs to be made that the Father and his Son, Jesus, is our life. Isn't that the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ will be is the fiber of our being. It will rule even our financial decisions as we take it into consideration. Even our finances, what will you give to those in need? So therefore, it's already gotten into your finances, hasn't it? Getting into where it is that you would even live. Well, are people taking into consideration that they would like to be near a church local? They'd like to be near those that are nourishing them. They'd like to be near those of like precious faith. Well, it's gotten into even where you would live. How about even to where a person might go to college? Well, people make the decision, you know, I wouldn't want to go to that particular college because of its liberal views and even the partying that goes on there that's destructive to a person's soul and life. Well, okay, I wouldn't go there, but I would go to this one over here that might more support my views, and people there might be able to more help me with my spirituality. And there are people that we might even associate upon with, so it has to translate into our life and into our ways and into our decisions, doesn't it? Absolutely. You know, we have many instances where people have relied upon the Lord for very physical means. Turn with me, if you will, over in the book of Alma, in the 20th chapter. Alma in the 20th chapter. Verse 26, and that happens to be on page 458. A very real example. Relying upon the Lord for direction. There are many avenues that I want to go down today, but they're going to be on that same flavor of relying upon the Lord. Let's read verses 26 through 30. It came to pass, as soon as they did departed into the wilderness, Moroni sent spies into the wilderness to watch their camp. And Moroni, also knowing of the prophecies of Alma, sent certain men unto him, desiring him that he should inquire of the Lord whether the armies of the Nephites should go to defend themselves against the Lamanites. It came to pass that the word of the Lord came unto Alma, and Alma informed the messenger of Moroni that the armies of the Lamanites were marching round about in the wilderness, that they might come over into the land of Manti, and that they might commence an attack upon the more weak part of the people. And those messengers went and delivered the message unto Moroni. Moroni, leaving a part of his army in the land of Jershon, lest by any means a part of the Lamanites should come into that land and take possession of the city, took the remainder of his army and marched over into the land of Manti. And he caused that all the people in that quarter of the land should gather themselves together to battle against the Lamanites to defend their lands and their country, their rights, their liberties, and therefore they were prepared against the time of the coming of the Lamanites. And you think to yourself, you know, this is a powerful example These were men that were consecrated unto faith. And they wanted to know for very real reasons the word of the Lord to be able to help to preserve the people. And they relied upon the Lord. They relied upon the word of the Lord coming to them in real warning, in real direction. You know, I've been reading through many portions of the Old Testament and looking at the life of Elijah. And the word of the Lord would come to them, and he was to go to Ahab and talking about a time of famine, as we read this morning, that Nephi had asked the Lord to bring a famine to bring repentance to the people. And in the time of the life of Elijah, and that was also the case too, that the people needed to come to repentance because of their departure into idol worship. It seemed to be a constant battle with the children of Israel. And you know, we find a real example in the scriptures. And we see real examples in our own lives where we need that word of God, that be word through a brother or sister, or something catastrophic maybe comes in our life in order to jerk us back to where we ought to be. And we do, in realizing that we need to rely on God. Sometimes we kind of forget, and we're slow to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, we took a look at the example of the brother of Jared. And the Lord had chastised him because he had forgot to call upon the name of the Lord. He chastised him for the space of hours. And so we're going to see how important it is to call upon the name of the Lord. So won't he direct our lives if we ask and trust for his leading? If they ask for real-time direction for their very life thread sustainment about their lives, their families, their wives, their children, their very cause of liberty that was going to be taken away, and they were depending upon the Lord. Really, what about us today? Relying upon Him to take care of our families, to take care of our homes, to give us information on where our life should go. I know as in the ministry that we're continually relying upon the Lord to direct His congregation, to speak to them. We rely upon the Lord for wisdom and direction for what to do and for how to be able to be a good shepherd. And we're hoping and praying that you're relying upon the Lord and calling upon Him and praying for your ministry. We may be able to strengthen the Spirit of the Lord through faith to be able to be better examples because of our weaknesses and imperfections, that we would be more the people that we ought to be. Because very important, because of the body of Christ and its sustainment and God's moving in His congregation, the body of Christ, and the workings of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and even unto the gifts that are given in His congregation. Well, will He not direct our lives if we ask and trust for His leading? Once again, every one of these questions, I want you to ask yourself. How much do we find that in our life? Do we trust and rely upon the Lord? Or are we relying onto our own strength and so on? You know, I'm guilty of that. I'll testify, I'm guilty of trying to handle things too much myself. It's probably because, maybe it's because of the job that I have. I'm used to planning out and taking care of things, and I want them done in a certain way, so that when I can say that when I punch out, you know, in the time clock, that I don't worry about and have a peace about my job, that I've handled what I know that I can handle until I go back there the next day and I don't think about it. My family's always wondered why I don't talk about my job. I like it. It's okay. I've been blessed. They'll be able to put food on the table. But that's not my life. See, that's my job. Do you know where my life is at? My life is right here with you. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is my life. That's just where I make my sustainment. That's where I make my money and my living. And I've prayed about it. And you know something? God has blessed me that I've been able to talk to people. We've talked about very serious issues there while we're turning a wrench or doing whatever. We've talked about marital troubles. We've talked about suicide issues. We've talked about the problems that come into people's lives. And I've been blessed because I've tried to be a good example that people think that they can come to me and they will know that they will get a word of comfort or direction. Or sometimes that we need to take them by the cuff of the neck and say, look here, this is what you need to be doing. And there was a man that I was counseling just on Friday because of persons that he is in contact with that are leading him down the road of destruction. And he doesn't seem to know better, yet he does. And I keep having to remind him. And I tell him, when you're in that period of indecision and you don't know what to do, and these persons are coming to you and trying to lead you away, you have my phone number. You give me a call. And you know what I'll tell you. Because we rely on God. Please turn with me over to Helaman in the 26th chapter. Something that doesn't make sense. Something to me, I think I... That no, finger...
No.
Okay, let me turn back just a moment. You're probably right there. Let me see if that makes sense. Yes, very good. Thank you very much. Book of Alma, 26th chapter, page 521. You see what I asked you a little bit earlier about praying for your ministry, about overcoming our weaknesses? And so we see in verse 1, I'll start 131 through 133. And therefore we did pour out our souls in prayer to God that he would strengthen us and deliver us out of the hands of our enemies, yea, also give us strength that we might retain our cities and our lands, our possessions for the support of our people. Yea, and it came to pass that the Lord our God did visit us with assurances that he would deliver us, yea, insomuch that he did speak peace to our souls and did grant unto us great faith and did cause us that we should hope for our deliverance in him. And we did take courage with our small force which we had received, and were fixed with a determination to conquer our enemies, and to maintain our lands and our possessions and our wives and our children, the cause of our liberty. And we see kind of that example yet today. You know, that if we're willing to be led on in temptation and into sin, you know, we can give up the liberty that we have, you know, through righteousness sake, and be into bondage of sin. And our liberty slowly begin to erode into things that are going to take us to destruction. But our Lord will deliver us. He will strengthen us. That we retain righteousness and the Spirit of the Lord to direct us and to lead us, to give us a decision and discernment. And we're going to need, you know, discernment in our life as we see that in the time in which we live, that there are great lies that are being purported even to within the Christian culture that's out there. the people that are watching movies that they claim that are Christian, that are even putting out like the story of Noah, and some of the conundrums that are being told there. And some people will not even check it out to see if these things are true when they put out these falsehoods in order to be able to make money is the goal. And so we need to know and we need to have good discernment. But do we pour out our souls in prayer that He would strengthen us and deliver us out of hands, even the hands of our enemies? There was a man that called me in just last night. It was a great struggle. He was facing great issues of anger. And I've asked you to pray for him. And he's trying to overcome this because of his problems he's had. And we prayed together. And I wanted him to pray for himself. And I said, you know, if you can take those people that you're talking about, if you can honestly pray for them and ask the Lord to help you forgive them and to pray for them earnestly, God will work a work in your life and your spirit will help deliver you out of the anger that you're feeling right now. And I know God was working with him. I know God was strengthening him. I do believe that I was relying on God in order to what to tell him. There are real people facing some very difficult issues. And we need to have that spirit of discernment and relying on God in order to what to say and what to do. There are real people, real issues, and real people that are crying out for God's help. We need to be there for them. So we need to rely on God for His very power and the power of deliverance through His love. But do we ask Him for help? There are many things that we come up with in our lives, and we have many situations, don't we, that we take care of and make decisions with each day. But do we ask Him for help? You know, I the first thing that comes to my mind, a very real example, when I was out in the middle of the woods and because of my own ignorance or whatever the matter, I'd left the lights on in the truck and the battery went down and I went off to hunt. Actually, it wasn't the headlights, but the interior lights, and didn't know that was the case, and they didn't go back out, and all ran down until I came back, and it was all dead. I was out in the middle of nowhere, miles from nowhere. It was way before cell phones. So what in the world do I do now? Well, I put the rifle back in the vehicle, and I said, Father, can you help me now? Didn't take very long. I walked out toward the road, and here was an oil field worker that came. And he came in and jumped me in there. I went. I'm miles from nowhere. It would have just been, you know. And it was cold. And the Scripture says we ask not because we have not because we ask not. Very simple, you know. Do we ask Him to help us in situations of personal trouble, or the simplest of things, thinking that we can take care of them? And I know that when there are many times when I try to take care of things myself, that I can certainly mess them up pretty good. Do you think that God won't fit into your situation, or that He won't understand? Do you think that we've come up with something and we've bungled things so well, or that we've gotten things so confused in our lives, or that we've been there before, or whatever the question, that God won't understand, or that he doesn't fit into a situation. You ever think that? There are many people that do. One fellow I told him about giving me a call, if he's getting into that period of indecision, he thinks that he's past a period of where he could be saved. He says, I've just born bad, that's the way it's going to be, and there isn't going to be any more to it, and there's no sense even discussing it. And I have to keep telling him, no, you're a good person. You're just misdirected. But the blessing in the matter is that he keeps coming back to tell me about his situations. What went on last night, or what went on over the weekend. And I said, I says, if you know, I don't want a call from the Kent County Jail. And a jovial sort of way, I says, I don't want to have to come in here and kick your tail first thing on Monday morning. He's a pretty good-sized fellow. But you can have a loving rapport with people that they will accept those things. Because he knows I care. But you don't think God won't fit into your situation, or that he won't understand. Please turn with me to Matthew 6, 5 through 8. You know, the Lord's always talking to us about being honest with ourselves and with our thoughts and with our prayers and with our examples. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask it. Well, that may be true, and people have said, well, he knows what I'm thinking, why do I bother asking? Why do I bother talking? Well, he's already told you. And he's already talked to you about talking to him and about giving him your prayers. He's already talked to you about entering into your closet and telling him the desires of your heart. It even talks about in the scriptures there are things that you don't know what to say and feelings you have to express, that he's going to help you with the workings of the Holy Spirit to know what to say, to convey to him. It's that important. It is that important, your prayers, that it talks about in the book of Revelations, that the prayers of the saints poured out as orders before the throne. They are that important. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants to know your thoughts. It's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience to do that very thing. It's a very act of humbleness and contrition to kneel before the God that has made you. In the name of Jesus Christ, to talk to him. Yes, he cares about each of his children. And he cares about your prayers. And he cares about what's going on in your life. Please turn with me over in the book of James in the first chapter. Read verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and wind with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive everything, anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But ask God. Do we ask him to help? in a manner. I know I've been in some real fixes, and I said, Lord, Father, I need your help. Help me with this problem. Help me with what to do here. Help me with where to go. Help me with what to tell them. And he does, because we rely on him. He teaches us all the way through the scriptures about relying on him. You know, I look at the life of the prophet Elijah when he needed to tell Ahab there was going to be, you know, years of famine. And he had to flee from the sight of Ahab because they were going to kill him. And he said, I want you to go over here by this brook, and I'm going to feed you there. The ravens will come, and the brook will be your water. The ravens will bring your food. And then because of the sore famine, the brook dried up. And he says, now I went ahead of you again. I want you to go over here, and there's a widow that has been prepared. And you will be sustained there. And he went there, and she was gathering sticks and she said, well, you know, there's a little bit of oil in the cruise, and there's a little bit of meal in the barrel, and then once we get through with that, then my son and I will just die. And Elijah said, in the name of the Lord, if you take care of me, that cruise of oil will not fail, and neither will the grain in the barrel. You go ahead and make that cake. Make one for me first, her act of faith. Then you make one for you and your son. And so, that just it took place and that is what happened, and they were taken care of. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Over also in James, 4th chapter, 2 through 6. He said, you lust and have not, and you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy to God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He resisteth the proud, because their heart is not softened. Their heart is not able to be worked with. It's hard. Those that are humble, that are meek and submissive, he can work with them. He can talk to them. His spirit can work upon them. And lead them and direct them. We know that there are things that we come across each and every day that because of discernment, you know that you shouldn't be going near. Who will be a friend of the word is an enemy of God. And we know if we go to and we embrace many of those things that we see out there each and every day, you see them. And you have to make decisions because you've relied on God, you've relied on His Word, because His Word, His plan, His direction has worked before. And you've seen it, even in the lives of other people, work before. His roadmap of life. And so you make that decision that you're not going to go there, and you're not going to do that, and you're not going to embrace that, or you're not going to associate with these situations. There are people sometimes we need to walk away from.
I know there are a couple of fellows, when I know they go out for break time outside, that there's going to be some filthy talk that I should not be hearing. Let me tell you something, I've been in that trade for 30-some years. I've been around some very rough characters. I've heard a lot of things. I know that I am a child of God, and I know that He loves my heart. I know that He loves me. I know that He's taking care of me. And I've testified to many of those rough sorts of people. And I know that there are things that I shouldn't be hearing. And the one fellow I had to take aside here a few weeks back, well, about a month ago now, and put my arm around him and tell him, I said, "Now I know that's not what you believe. When you're swearing like that, and the Lord knows what's in my heart, and He knows that I'm a Christian." Is that so? Really? And with every comment he made, I was able to come back with a scripture that says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Now, what are you telling me here? I says, "I know that you've got a better heart than that. You shouldn't be doing that." That stopped for a while. I see it's coming back a little bit. We're probably going to have that chat again. He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This I see as very, very intricately important within the mind and the wisdom of the Lord, where humbleness and contriteness is very important, and we need to humble ourselves before Him. We know the worldly strength will fail us, but a truly strong, godly man and godly woman can bow their knees before the Lord. That's where true strength comes from. Please turn with me over to the book of Mosiah, the 5th chapter, page 230. I'd like to start at verse 48. Behold, the Lord has said, "I will not succor my people in the day of their transgression, but I will hedge up their ways that they prosper not, and their doing shall be as a stumbling block before them." And again he saith, "My people sow filthiness. They shall reap the chaff thereof and the whirlwind, and the effects thereof is poison." And again he saith, "My people shall sow filthiness. They shall reap the east wind, which bringeth immediate destruction." And now behold, the promise of the Lord is fulfilled, and they are smitten and afflicted. But if ye will turn to the Lord with full purpose of heart, and put your trust in Him, and serve Him with all your diligence of mind, if ye will do this, He will, according to His own will and pleasure, deliver you out of bondage. And he's talking to the people of King Limhi that were in bondage because of the transgressions that had come upon them, and they were led into bondage because of unrighteousness. But the message here is true. It is everlastingly true, even to us today, and to those that may be in bondage, as that the young man is, by whatever means, of his own decision, or fell into that trap, or whatever the matter. But he will not succor them in the day of their transgression, or take care of them, or nurse them, or bless them, you know, while they're enveloped in sin because of their own transgression and choice. And you won't prosper there. We depart away from Him, move away from the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of His blessing, and the windows of heaven are not opened up and blessing them. Their doing shall be as a stumbling block before them. It talks about in the book of Proverbs, it says that it is as darkness, and they don't know what they're stumbling over. And you want to know what how that example comes to life? In the middle of the night, get up there in a bedroom or whatever. Leave a few things out before you go to bed, and then in the middle of the night, get up and try to make your way through it to the door. When you can't see it, and that's how the doings of people that reject the teachings of the Lord and His direction and are not guided by His Spirit. Where the true path is at. it's very real, where the rubber hits the road in our life. If we reject the ways of the Lord, He will not bless us there. Psalm 34, if you would turn with me there, please. One of my favorite psalms. It's one that I remember very well. It's one that I had to tell this young man that last night. I said, I want you to go through into the book of Psalms. There were times, the Psalms were written during times of real peril and real danger and real calamity to the lives of those that were talked about in here. At times of deliverance, at times of exalting the Lord, times when the Lord had blessed them, and times when the Lord needed to punish them. The Psalms were written during times of great distress in the lives of Solomon and in David, and so on, times when his enemies were upon them, and times when they were also delivered. And I had to tell this young man that because of the dilemma that he is into right now. He's in a struggle right now for his very life. I ask interest in your prayers for him. It's that fellow by the name of Ben. I told him I would be telling you this. He appreciates that. He wants your prayers. He needs your prayers. In verse 7, it says that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. We fear the Lord with that awe-inspiring respect and reverence that He will bless us and bless our life and bless our homes and bless our decisions. Verse 15 through 18. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. How important is it? Humbleness and contrition. Relying upon the Lord for the very fiber of our blessing. Trusting Him. Trusting Him throughout each day. There was another very good one, you know, and I wanted to bring that out today. Page 211 in the book of Mosiah in the first chapter. Page 211. In your Book of Mormon. Mosiah 1 and 52. That'd be page 212. Page 212. I was off by one here. That's not so bad. King Benjamin is imploring his people as a godly king and a godly leader, because he loved the people. He cared for them. He cared to be a prophet even to them. He cared in order to be able to take care of them, to teach them, to lead them in the ways of the Lord. And he was about ready to go meet the Lord, and so he wanted to teach them another time. Now he was turned over the kingdom to his son Mosiah. But he wanted to exhort the people to keep the commandments of the Lord and to make a covenant they would serve Him. But he goes on to say, it says about, I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who has created you and hath kept you and preserved you and caused that you should rejoice and has granted that you should live in peace one with another. I say unto thee, if you would serve Him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending your breath, that you may live and move and do according to your own will, even supporting you from one moment to another. You know, I thought that was such a beautiful passage. And I believe with all my heart that when we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, and when we be face to face, as the song says and the scriptures declare, we will know just how much, number one, He loves us. Number two, just where and how He's been supporting us all throughout our life. And by giving us breath by breath and supporting us from one moment to another. And keeping us going in this life until He calls us home. I say if you would serve Him with all your whole soul, yet you'd be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that He requires of you is to keep His commandments. And He hath promised you that if you would keep His commandments, you should prosper in the land. And He doth never vary from that which He has said. Therefore, if you keep His commandments, He doth bless you and prosper you. Now, in the first place, He has created you and granted unto your lives for which you are indebted to Him. And secondly, He doth require that you do as He has commanded you, for which if you do, He doth immediately bless you, and therefore He hath paid you. He supports us. How much should we rely on Him? You rely on Him for your families, take care of them. You know, we can't be there with our loved ones throughout all the day. And even if we were there with them all day, every day, what things could come upon us? No one can take care of them like our God can. And take care of them for His purposes and His direction. But if we rely on God, our beliefs become our actions or our works. If we truly take for truth about our faith, you know, it means something. If we rely on our God, our beliefs become our actions or our works. Just like that molten piece of steel, it says speaks many things to me. One of which talks about, you know, to me, or it talks about in Proverbs, it says, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? There are things that people try to embrace in this world and thinking that they can handle even little bits of sin. Things that are unpleasing to the Lord. And they can be burned by it. I see we're in the furnace of affliction, of temptations and trials, where the Lord, He forges and He tempers His people to be able to withstand. And I see the man on the right there, with the eyes of God, that if we are supple and humble and are kneel before Him, before the Master Maker's hands, that He can mold us into His shape, how He would have of us in our lives. But at times when we need to be put through the furnace of affliction, you know, we had a very living example of that even this morning. Our brother testified of the blessings of the Lord in his life. But it took a time where the Lord was slowly working with him. A period of decision or affliction or trial or whatever the matter, to change his mind and mostly his heart and his direction. We see that in reality. For the Lord to shape each of us in His will and His direction. We take a look in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, and we're going to turn there, but faith is the evidence of things unseen. And I want you to use that for in your notes and in your homework there. Faith is evidence. How else are others going to know who you are and who you believe in and who you're testifying of? And where is your example in your life? And if we're doing things that are ungodly in our life, how can people know when our example is destroyed? What do they think that you believe in? Or what is, you know, and if we're each of us are a living example of the Church of Christ, as He has said that I have put this treasure in earthen vessels, that is you. That you are an ambassador for Christ. How can they know when our example is soiled by things that we shouldn't be doing or shouldn't be saying, or associations maybe even that we keep? In 1 John, in the first chapter, in the fifth verse, let's go there for a moment. I'm going to move along here. 1 John the 5th chapter, in the 5th verse. Who is it, he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Just a moment here. Oh, one, I'm sorry. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we have, say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Then his word is not in us. We cannot believe and engage in hypocrisy. The book of James in the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And the question that comes to my mind, you know, need to be able to, each of us, have the testimony that where you see yourselves now, you should be able to see yourselves outside of here too. Now, we know that there are precious things that we could talk about here that you can't talk about with people out in the world that don't know the Spirit of the Lord or the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're supposed to tell them. It is our commandment to tell them, to testify, to example to them. But we can't say that we're one person here, and we shouldn't be one person here that has one face for this place and another face for somewhere else, to be able to fit in, to blend in. And God's warned us about that, hasn't he? We need to walk with the love of Jesus Christ in our love, in our heart, in our life, in our decisions, and in our examples. So we need to wonder why. These are questions to each of you. You know, and if a statement or a scripture, if it makes you uneasy, if it makes you answer that question, or to ask yourself the question, if it makes you uneasy about that, you know, about something that's going on, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We should be questioning. The Word of God is to try to get us to ask those questions in our life. Are we aligning ourselves with the Word of God, or separating ourselves from it, or trying to hide, or put blinders on to it? We have deliverance. You say these two fellows are wrestling one with another. This is supposed to be a depiction of wrestling with the devil himself. You say, where's the ugly fellow in the picture? Well, the scripture doesn't talk about him as being ugly. It talks about him being a very beautiful angel. And the way of temptation and the way of the devil coming into our life is going to be pretty slick. To be able to make that decision, to be able to make make that temptation stick, make it work. But 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, in the 12th verse, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We got to be careful about ourselves. We've got to be careful that we're planted on the Word of God, and that we're close to the Lord, and that the hedge of the Holy Spirit is working in our life. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, and that ye may be able to bear it. Remember, it's with his help. Don't think that if you're being confronted with a temptation, especially if you think with this, against the spirit of evil, and if you think that it is the devil himself, you better resist him. But don't think, there many of us are weak. And most importantly, remember, the Lord sent out his disciples two by two, and more so many times. Call for your brothers and sisters. Call for the ministry. Call for reinforcements. Call your prayer warriors. Give it all that don't think that you can handle these things yourself. No, we should be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But that's why the Lord also put others in the body of Christ too alongside you. So we're not fighting that battle alone. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, it's a very simple verse, but you better be able to make that stick. You can't just thumb your nose and make fun of him and tell him to go away and so on. Give him some cutesy verse or whatever out of your repertoire. But you better be able to make that stick. He's been around a long time and he's honed his craft. He is not stronger than Jesus Christ, who has defeated him at the foot of the cross. But you better give it its due and give it all its worth. And once again, resist him with all your might. And with your brothers and sisters to be there right with you. Don't mess around with him. And never call him on. Don't think you've prepared yourself in order to be able to call him on. And Jesus, he confronted the devil with the word of God. With the word of God. He says, it is written. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder both joint and marrow. The word of God. That's why we ought to know the word of God, to study the word of God, to pray over the word of God, to pray over it and be used also in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are not necessary in our lives. All things are lawful for me, as we know that they are today. There's many things that we can do, and we can think, we can get away with, if you will, just as they were then. But I will not be brought under the power of any. There are addictions, things that seem to be fun, that seem to be pleasurable, that people say, oh, it's all okay. There's an organization right down the street here that seems to that puts up has the jackpot numbers that are continually being changed all the time, trying to lure you in. Satan's got a whole box full of real pretty fishing lures to fish people in there. There's a lot of people whose very lives have been taken. People have taken their lives because they lost everything that they had. I will not be brought under the power of them. Yes, gambling is an addiction. Amongst many, there are many. But I will not be brought under the power of any. You know? We have things that we're talking about here of times when they had things that they were unlawful to eat, unlawful to drink, unlawful to do within the old law. But in the new law, they had freedom in Jesus Christ. They had liberty, and you and I have freedom in Jesus Christ, and we have liberty today. They're not, but with freedom that we have, especially being in the land of freedom, in the land of liberty, we got to be careful that we do not become in bondage to sin. In Galatians 5:13, please write this down, but we won't go there. But use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. There are many things that we know that we shouldn't be doing, that God has told us that is unlawful in his gospel. They are in sin. They can bring that bondage. And we can bring on that wrestling match with the spirit of evil, like this fellow's doing here. You betcha. If you're willing to resist Him, if you're willing to humble yourself under the sight of God Himself, He will also be right there with you, fighting with you, helping direct in your life. But we need to rely on Him. We need to rely on Him. Wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom to be able to know, to decide, and so on. And this one I write down too. That God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. The things that He is freely giving unto the children of men in order to be able to help us, to lead us, to prepare us, but by His Holy Spirit. But how can we do that if we're out there and He's not succoring us, you see, in transgressions? Revealing us by His Spirit. What about this fella that's there? What's he is? He's blindfolded and he's headed for a cliff because he can't see and he can't know. And he's doing this, maybe he's blindfolded himself. And by our decisions and our actions, by succumbing to temptations, we can do that too. And as I've read this scripture, for this instance, James 1:5-8, if any one of you act wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. Do we ask God to decide a matter? Do we do that? There are many times we make these decisions, we try to think about it in our own intellect, and then many times we turn around and we know that we've bungled it. We know that we needed spiritual direction and discernment. Did you ask God, who gives wisdom? Proverbs 3:13. I'm going to go there for just a short Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. And I'm going to leave the rest of that to your own reading. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, than of fine gold. There are many people in their own wisdom and so on that have gone on into the and lost even a lot of their gold and a lot of their silver, if you will, even on the worldly market because of ungodly ways and ungodly means, because of covetousness and participating in things they should not. And especially speaking of fine gold, what about our families? I have one last scripture here this morning. I know I went a little bit long, but I felt that this was given to me, that I needed to deliver this morning, and I thought it very important. In 3 Nephi, in the 8th chapter, I'd like to restart verse 49. Jesus said, I am the light, and I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples. He turned again to the multitude, and he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families. You see this family here around the dinner table, and they're praying together. Do we do this in our homes? It's not a humorous thing. It's not a funny thing. It's not a silly thing. It's a life-giving thing in our homes, in our families. That the hedge of the Holy Spirit be about our homes and in our families and in our examples. What more powerful example can we have than our children seeing their parents praying and owing their awe, their homage, their respect, all that they have to the Lord God that takes care of them? What more powerful example than our parents that would bow the knee? Those that had been strong in taking care of them in this life and bringing groceries home and taking care of the bills, but then kneeling in prayer and submitting to the God of creation. Pray in your families and to the Father always in my name that your wives and your children may be blessed. How important is that? It's beyond our knowing. We have many testimonies of those within my hearing. They said they were also saved by the prayers. They know that their families, their mom, their dad, their grandma and grandpa was praying for. And I know that my family was praying for me many times. And I'm thankful. Once I know that, I want to touch along, but I believe that every one of these things subjects that were there were placed just one right after another that I wanted to deliver this morning. So I thank you for your prayers, for your love, and for your